The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Pat, we've been on the air while Donald Trump gave his speech. We have selections from Donald Trump where he was talking about, you know, I have proven I'm a conservative. I have cut taxes and I have done a great job on judges, which he has. There's a real legacy to Donald Trump on judges that I don't think people are really talking about. What he has done on judges, not just Gorsuch.
Yeah, that one pretty much universally praised by conservatives.
Yeah.
More than any other part of his agenda,
yeah.
I would say.
And he's out of the way of whoever is making the calls on the judges. And this is game changing. The calls that he's made on the judges. What else did he talk about?
While I was listening, he was talking about the trade deficit, and we are $500 billion in deficit to China. We are $100 billion in deficit to Mexico, and it's unacceptable. And all those things are going to be redone. NAFTA, it's going away.
He's back on that because he was talking about it staying for a while.
Yeah, he's not. He didn't seem to be on that track right now. And the World Trade Organization, which created China. He says, as soon as the WTO was created, China went like a rocket ship to the top. And so that's going to be redone. We're going to get out of that. We're going to redo all these things. If they won't come to an agreement, we're going to redo them all. And we'll start over again.
You think that's negotiation? Or because he hasn't really done much of that yet.
I just think that's the part of his agenda he hadn't gotten to yet. And I think now
that's the part he cares about deeply.
Oh.
He cares about that
talks
deeply.
About it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the year he gets to it because he got to some of the other things and... You know, they got the tax cut done. They couldn't get Obamacare eliminated, although he said we're doing it piecemeal. And maybe that's the better way.
Well, they did get rid of the biggest
the mandate.
Offense, I would say, the individual mandate, which is
which
big
is what he said, that they've essentially gutted and eliminated Obamacare.
I mean, we all talked about that you know, got to get rid of the mandate. And if you get rid of the mandate, then the whole thing collapses.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a different scenario when we were talking about that 8 years ago. Now, you know, you don't necessarily want that just to fall apart and collapse on you without something for it to fall into, like the free market system.
Though the mandate is what separates Obamacare from your typical bad program and something that is absolutely unconstitutional and is an embarrassment that it was enacted. The fact that they got rid of the mandate does change that, I think. It's a move in the right direction, no matter what happens to Obamacare, because we have a lot of crap heap programs where we spend a lot of tax dollars to do nothing. And we got a lot of those. There's a million of those, and you know, those have been around for a while. The mandate forcing people to purchase a product is so ridiculously unconstitutional that I'm very happy that is gone, I will say. And that was a big part of it. He also was a little self-deprecating. Which is not a...
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, this is Donald Trump talking about his bald spot.
I try like hell to hide that bald spot, folks. I work hard.
That is...
It doesn't look bad. Hey, we're hanging in. We're hanging in.
That is...
Wow.
This is That's amazing
great.
For him.
Wow.
That's the first time I've ever heard him mention a bald spot.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's self-deprecating. That
right.
kind of stuff makes him more likable.
No question about it.
Yeah.
It shows he's, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously.
He's human.
Yeah.
He's human.
Yeah.
I guess now, you know, people are speculating that he just finally came out and said this because he's been asked about this for years.
I know. Yeah.
People grabbed his hair in interviews. Yeah. I mean, it's been.
Why was CPAC the place where he.
I don't. The only thing I've been, you know, the speculation is because of that video that came out a couple weeks ago.
Which I did not believe at first.
Seen the video.
You haven't seen the video.
You haven't seen the video?
I don't think so.
Oh, you've got to
see a bald spot?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at just
really?
Google. Just Google Trump's bald spot. You won't believe it. It looks like I didn't believe it.
Yeah, we thought it was fake initially.
Yeah, it looks like the Phantom of the Opera.
He's walking up the steps.
He had to say it then, right?
I mean,
that's why. He kind of had to.
There's a lot of times people say to Donald Trump, you got to say this, you got to say this, and he doesn't do it.
True.
And so for him to take a step kind of in a self-deprecating manner, I think is a really good step.
It is.
It makes him more
I think so
human.
Too.
You know?
Definitely makes him more likable.
Yeah. And
it definitely does.
So the video, if you haven't seen it, is him walking up the steps of Air Force One, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, the wind is, it's on a tarmac, so it's very windy. And
And a flap opens up on the back of his head.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, have you not found it?
Not yet.
Oh, you have to see. I want to see your reaction. It is, it's like, bum, 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 bum. it's amazing. I thought it was fake because it's so bad. The way it looks, it's so bad.
But he seemingly handled it pretty well.
Yeah, handled it graciously.
In the moment.
Which is odd again.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Yeah.
It might, maybe he's grown into this job. That would be nice. That
well,
be
he's had a good week, man. His, yeah, I yes. mean, his yeah. Deal with the guns
was much better than the CNN version of the conversation.
I mean,
guns.
that was the way the media portrays all Trump rallies.
Yeah, exactly.
They had switched.
And he did a good job.
He was
with that.
Being presidential.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, because he's taking or he's signaling steps that I don't agree with when it comes to the Second Amendment, and I'm concerned about that. But he hasn't done them yet. We'll see kind of where that goes. I think, you know, right now the Republican Congress, which many of them are completely spineless, right, are sitting back and say and looking for permission to vote for anti-Second Amendment legislation. They want to be able to say to people, look, we took this seriously and the information changed and we're going it. It's common sense. We had to do it. And the only way they'll be able to justify that to their constituency is if Trump gives them permission. If Trump comes out and supports those things, then they'll all fall in line. I think the same thing goes if he opposes them, they'll all oppose them. I mean, he really does lead the leash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me play something. Let me play Cuomo. Versus Charles Cook. Charles Cook, who is great. He's on this network from time to time, and he was part of The Real News. He's just a great thinker. Now, listen to him, and he's clear with logic. He's doing math. Cuomo is doing Common Core math. Listen to this.
I don't understand why there'd be resistance to, you know, especially for lawful people. Why wouldn't you have all sales applicable to a background check?
Well, the first argument, and I think this is always a good thing to remember when government gets involved, whether it's the war on terror or drugs, is that, as I say, there isn't a great deal of evidence that it works or that sheriffs prioritize it in states that have them. The second reason is that if, as it has been suggested thus far, it would effectively create a gun registry. And gun registries are opposed, I think, for good reason by those who have an interest.
But you already have it for the majority of sales. This would just be making it in all transactions. Why create a loophole when you don't need one? Its practical impact is something to consider. But as a prophylactic device, I just don't understand a good argument against it.
Well, I think, as I say, a good argument against it is that recent studies conducted, it should be said, by gun control advocates and written up by gun control advocates have conceded that there doesn't seem to be much evidence that it does anything. And if we're trying to improve the situation on the ground here, then that doesn't seem to
now
me
listen
to
this
the way
logic
to
from Chris.
Well, and the argument for it would be you might as well try whatever you can because you have so many guns getting into
it
the wrong sets
work,
of hands.
But Charles, try.
See, this is
yeah.
But
go ahead, make your final point.
Well, I think that, you see, I think that's where we have to be careful here, because there is this argument in the aftermath of mass shootings, and we saw a lot of it last night in what I thought was an unhelpful town hall held at the wrong time. We see a lot of this argument, you have to do something. But of course, we don't all agree we need to do anything. There, Marco Rubio came out last night against the idea of, say, arming teachers. Now, it wouldn't be a particularly convincing response to say, well, why doesn't he just want to do something?
He did say he would do certain things.
I agree. But just saying, well, why don't we just do something? Why don't we try that? There's nothing to lose. It's not a standard we apply across the board.
No, that's understood.
Right, disagree here.
Not arbitrary things. Absolutely. There has to be a reasonable understanding. No, but look, Charles, what I'm saying, we agree. You should do things that are calculated to make a real difference. And you should base it on debate and data and research
data?
In the area.
Research.
There's no question about that. There's no reason just to throw out any kind of solution that won't work. But look, at the end of the day, it's a debate worth having. We need all sides, and I appreciate you being here. Take it easy.
You
on
didn't
on.
Say anything.
You just lost the argument.
You just lost the argument. We
badly.
Agree. We need to make sure that we're looking at research and data. Right. I just told you the research and data says it does nothing. Right. But in the end, you know, he wanted to say, but in the end, we do need to do something.
Yeah, right. And by the way, that something is the thing I want.
Yeah.
No other thing, because there's lots of other things out there that I don't think we should do. We get to do something. But the thing I want to do should be the something we should do.
And I have to tell you, Charles, his response is, well, you know, for the president said armed teachers. That's doing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could see Cuomo, like, immediately his body language, it just shifted to dismiss. Well, army teachers, well, that's just stupid. Well, wait.
Why don't we just try it?
Let's just do something.
Yeah, what the heck?
Pat Gray Unleashed coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Just a moment. We think the thing that you're suggesting is stupid. That's why we're dismissing it. You know, it's interesting. I keep hearing this about the teachers and arming the teachers. And I'm not saying it's my top policy prescription for this, but stop for a second. We keep hearing these same things come out of people's mouths, even from teachers. They're like, I'm teaching algebra. I don't want to be defending kids. I don't want to be pointing a Smith and Wesson while I'm teaching algebra. You're not going to be pointing it when you're teaching algebra. You're going to be pointing it when an active shooter is at your door.
Correct.
Let me ask the same thing with the security situation with the deputy.
Yeah.
He's out there and they're like, this proves that the security at schools won't work. The guy just stood outside and didn't do anything. Well, first of all, yes, it is a requirement of the policy for the guy to go inside. Yes, I'll granted. But again, take everybody in that situation. You're a minute and a half into that. You have a choice to make. Would you rather have a security personnel that's armed walking up to the building who may or may not come inside? Or would you rather have nobody?
Yeah.
Nobody with guns inside, nobody with guns.
Let me just say this. Why did we not have a problem when the airlines trained everyone on the flight deck to use a gun after 9/11? Remember that? We're going to have our pilots have guns. Yep. And we had our Navy SEALs and all of the experts go in and train the people on the flight deck how to use a gun. Then we hardened the door.
Air marshals as well.
And we put air marshals in. Mm-hmm. Somebody on the plane with a gun. Well, you don't want a shootout in an airplane.
Yeah.
If it means we're all going to die or he dies. Yeah, I'm going to go for the shootout in the airplane.
What you really don't want is a one-person shootout.
Right.
Those shootouts suck.
Right.
Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
When one person starts shooting, you want a two or three or four person shootout. You want bullets flying both ways once they start flying one way.
Doesn't seem to be a problem to arm our pilots. Why is it a problem to arm and train some teachers? I don't see a problem with it, but
it may not. Look, it's not going to solve every one of these things.
No,
it didn't. Like the security on premises that was armed,
the problem.
Everything worked when it came to this shooting, as far as security goes, until the guy stayed outside. And maybe sometimes people will fail. These are impossible situations to predict how you're going to act. But I mean, don't you want the possibility of success? They're rejecting the possibility of success for the possibility of failure.
I would just like to say that the failure is not just on Scott Peterson, the sheriff's deputy.
Oh, no, no, no.
But on the sheriff himself and whoever is training to not see this as a problem.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.